Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. This is episode 215. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Well, it has been an amazing weekend out at the Illinois Grand Lodge sessions. It was the 176th annual communications celebrating the 175 years in existence. It was a very special weekend. I caught a little bit of a cold from my kids as soon as I got home. So if I sound a little rough, that's the reason. This is a shorter episode this week. We do have a very short paper. We have some periodical updates that I recorded while I was at the sessions, as well as a really cool Masonic Minute by illustrious Brother Stephen L. Harrison, and we'll wrap it up with a famous Freemason. So without any further delays, we'll get right into the show.
Hey everybody, we are in Springfield, Illinois for the Grand Lodge Communication, and I'm sharing a room at the amazing Hilton that doesn't smell too bad. I'm with my junior warden, soon to be senior warden, Louis Albarrison.
Greetings and salutations from Springfield, Illinois, from the sixth floor of this lovely hotel building. What are we, Hilton, right?
We are at the Hilton. Last year we stayed at the Abe Lincoln, which was awesome, pretty historical. And we're on the sixth floor by special request because Louis and I both hate heights. So
thank you.
We're two birds of a feather. Talk to you all later.
All right. So kind of funny that we did these updates. But in any case, the piece for this week is interesting one. It comes out of the 2015 annual report from the Illinois Lodge of Research, and it's a short one. It is called Freemasonry and the Hindu Religion by Hilton Kaufman, Past Master, and it is among several articles in this particular issue that are short, they are concise, and give brief histories on eras of Freemasonry. I think what I would like to do is to explore this in its complete form. Next week on the show, we'll just go through and it will be a chronological order of some really cool facts about Masonry in the different time periods. It goes into, of course, the difference between ancient free and accepted and the split and the combining. Everybody just knows the 1717 dates where the United Grand Lodge of England came together. But before that, you know, there were two Grand Lodges there. And what's interesting is the United States factions had merged well before the United Grand Lodge of England straightened their paperwork out. So there's some really interesting stuff that went on, and I think it will be a benefit both for the historical scholar as well as people who just don't know what actually happened. It was a confusing period of time because we are dealing with the forming of lodges here in the United States as well as dealing with the merger of organizations which had existed in the United Kingdom for quite a while. So there are many confusions in relating to its history. But without any further delay, Freemasonry and the Hindu Religion by Hilton Kaufman, Past Master. In looking at Freemasonry and the Hindu religion, two things must be borne in mind. First, Freemasonry requires a belief in a supreme being. Second, Hindus appear to worship many different deities. While this appears to present a conflict, it actually does not. Employees of a British trading enterprise called the East India Company first introduced Freemasonry into India in 1730. Locals were not accepted for membership until 1812, when a Muslim was allowed to join. Since Hindus do not openly pray to one deity, they were not even considered for members. It was as late as 1857 until the first Hindu was accepted as a member. Today, Hindus are starting to join lodges in the United States and elsewhere in the world. The issue of multiple deities is likely to be raised anywhere membership is sought. Some understanding of the religion can show that there is a belief in a single supreme being. Hinduism is complex by Western standards. There are devotees of many deities, each with their own temples, shrines, and priesthoods. All of these deities are considered to be manifestations of one true Brahma. It is believed that all sincere prayer reaches this being, even prayers of members of other religions. In this way, Hindus are accepting of other religions, much as Masons regard the supreme architect of the universe. Both are accepting of a sincere believer of any religion. The Jew may pray his way, and the Christian another. In the Hindu way of thinking, all these prayers go to the same place. While at first it appears that Hindus do not have a belief in one supreme being, it can be shown that they do. Thus, the issue of multiple Hindu deities should not via bar to membership in the Masonic fraternity. The Duke of Sussex, Grand Master of the United Grand Lodge of England, ruled that the various deities of the Hindus were not separate, but merely personifications of characteristics of one central deity, and ordered the lodges in India to accept Hindus. While he gave the order, sometime before he died in 1843, the first Hindu was not accepted until 1857.
Grand Lodge sessions, it's 11:15 at night time, and my junior deacon is trying to figure out the alarm clock. As many brothers know, the 24-inch gauge is difficult. It's 11:26. Lewis, what time are we waking up?
Well, technically it's 11:14, but our lovely alarm clock is set at 11:26, and I can't figure out how to change the time. So that means that my deductive reasoning means that if I want to wake up at 6 a.m., we're going to set it for 6:10, so we're at a current or some kind of logical time frame. Why? Because our clock's made in China, and I can't figure out the directions written in it in English.
That's made in Hilton. It's got a Hilton brand name on it. So, Hilton, if you're listening, can you work on that for us? We are about to go to bed and enjoy a good day of fellowship tomorrow. So, listeners, whether you be near or far, have safe travels to your Grand Lodge sessions. We met lots of brothers tonight that listen to the show, who have been implemental in the show's success. Brother Charles Harper, Brother Frank Klein, who is our secretary for the Grand Lodge at the State of Illinois. He's been always in our corner. Past Grand Masters, Rick Swaney, all these guys have been really awesome. So, it's time to get some shut-eye, and tomorrow, Grand Lodge Sessions 2015, 175th Annual Communications, Day 1.
All right, so we again had a great time down there, and Lewis and I just had a fantastic time. I also went down with my junior warden and my senior warden, and we really had some great conversation with the vendors, who I had no idea that a lot of the vendors for the Masonic regalia were done, you know, right in the next state over or right in our own state. So it was pretty cool to know that the guys selling the stuff to us were actual brothers of our same Grand Lodge jurisdiction. It was pretty fun. And with that, I would like to go right into this week's Masonic Minute by illustrious brother Stephen L. Harrison. If you haven't had a chance to check out the Whence Came You YouTube channel, please do head on over there, because we put up the videos for these as well. So the audio is there, and there is a slideshow that goes along with each one of these Masonic Minutes, and they're really cool. So if you have a minute and you would like to head on over and check those out, we would greatly appreciate it. Give it some good ratings, and if you really like what you hear, please check out Freemasons Tales from the Craft by Brother Stephen L. Harrison. And if you like mystery, please check out Freemasons at Oak Island, both of which are by Stephen, and they are on Amazon.com.
Born September 13, 1860, John J. Blackjack Pershing was a member of Nebraska's Lincoln Lodge 19, the York Rite, Scottish Rite, and Shrine. He received the 33rd degree in 1930. Over the course of his illustrious military career, he led the United States forces in World War I and, in 1919, became General of the Armies, equaling a rank previously held only by George Washington. For the past several years, an outlandish urban legend has circulated on the internet regarding Pershing's handling of the Islamic Moro population during the early 20th century war in the Philippines. There is more than one version of the legend, but the gist of the story, completely untrue, claims Pershing rounded up 50 Muslim terrorists, executed 49 of them with bullets soaked in pig's blood, had them buried in a mass grave, and covered the bodies with pig entrails, barring them by an erroneous perception of Islamic law from entry into heaven. The yarn goes on to claim Pershing released the 50th terrorist so he could pass the word about what happens to scoundrels who mess with the United States. While Pershing indeed had skirmishes with the Moros while he was in the Philippines, there is no evidence that he ever had anyone executed. To the contrary, he said many times he wanted to avoid any Moro casualties. When asked about this tale, Dr. Frank E. Vandeveer, professor of history at Texas A&M University and author of Blackjack, The Life and Times of John J. Pershing, said, "I never found any indication that it was true after having made extensive research on Pershing's Moro experiences. This kind of thing would have run completely against his character." In addition, according to the American Muslim Association in North America, the notion that a Muslim would be denied entrance to heaven for touching a pig is ridiculous. Legitimate historians today agree this story is nothing more than a wild legend, possibly originating or gaining momentum in the aftermath of the attacks on September 11th, 2001. Pershing was certainly a strict disciplinarian, but he was neither impulsive nor cruel. For the most part, the Moros revered him and voluntarily bestowed their highest honors upon him. Pershing, by his actions, showed he respected the Moro population and, when asked about his mission in the Philippines, said, "I am here to wage peace." For the Whence Came You podcast, this is Steve Harrison with the Masonic Minute.
All right, so it's a little bit after 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. We spent all day at the Grand Lodge sessions. I unfortunately missed Midnight Freemason regular Mike Shirley's leadership training, which I am really bummed about. However, I made the Illinois Lodge of Research. We had a good meeting there. I found out I was chaplain, even though I didn't know it, so that's kind of funny. I'm sure some of you can relate to that. And we're about to go to the Grandmaster's Banquet. The live tweeting from Whence Came You, our page, of the Grand Lodge sessions. We had some really good notes that went out. And what was really cool was to see the tremendous reaction that everybody had to the gift that the Illinois Grand Lodge gave to the past Most Worshipful Grand Lodge, Prince Hall Millard Drixel, who was given a honorary past Grand Master of the essentially regular Grand Lodge of Illinois. It was a really emotional event. The current Illinois Grand Master, Barry D. Weir, got a little emotional as well, addressing the lodge on his personal sentiments. It was really cool. Not to see somebody get emotional, just that, of course, everybody knew that he really cared about Freemasonry. Anyway, those are your updates. I'm sure you're up to speed if you're an Illinois Mason already. If not, I hope you enjoy these updates from our Illinois Grand Lodge sessions. You should do the same. Send me the updates. You should live tweet them and let everybody know what's going on with your sessions in your state. And with that, Brother Lewis and myself are heading down to eat some mediocre food at the Hilton, and we will enjoy dessert. And the only thing better than the food is the fellowship. So this is Robert and Lewis.
Good evening.
Saying good evening, and that's it for right now.
All right, so this week's famous Freemason is Bridge Frodsham, and it is thought that he was born in 1733 and passed away in 1768. Kind of an interesting character. He was a native of Frodsham, Cheshire. He was admitted to the foundations of Westminster School in 1746, but ran away. In 1748, he was received back at the school, and he ran away a second time, and making his way to Leicester, attached himself to a theatrical company. He was encouraged by J.G. Cooper of Thurgarton, Nottinghamshire, once also a Westminster boy, to make acting his profession, and he joined the company at York. He quickly became popular and was known as the quote-unquote York Garrick. Tate Wilkinson thought his Hamlet of a high standard. He rarely left York. He died on the 21st of October 1768 at Kensington upon Hull, his end being accelerated by drink. So I would guess that he had a bit of a drinking problem. However, he was an English provincial actor, master of Punchbowl Lodge 259 at York.
Well, I just got home, everybody. It is Saturday. It's about 7 o'clock at night. I come home, and of course, you know, we're a family, so it's time to go out to dinner. I'm trying to put away all of the crazy cool wares I bought and books and pins that I was given. Just a tremendous time. We got the new Grand Masters pin and all that good stuff. So, you know, the real purpose of kind of giving you updates like this was to kind of spark your interest in going to your Grand Lodge's sessions. It's really important to go, even if you're not a principal officer, just go. Yes, most states you cannot vote unless you are a principal officer. However, there's so much more for you to observe, to look at the proceedings of your Grand Lodge, to take an active role for discussions. And many times there are forums and there are classes and all kinds of really cool stuff. So you should definitely go and check that stuff out. The audio is going to be a little bit different in the recorded part of the show for the paper because this is on my hand mic recorder, so it's a little bit different. So I do apologize for that, and I'm out of breath because I'm just dealing with my kids and trying to get everything unpacked and put away because that's my thing. I'm very organized. But anyway, thanks everybody for the retweets and the following of our Illinois Grand Lodge sessions as we kind of live updated some of the really cool things that were happening. And that's that.
Well, that's it for this week. I hope your takeaway was that maybe you should go to your Grand Lodge sessions, even if you're not a premier officer or what we would call an executive officer of the lodge. I think it's very important that we all go. Again, this year, the numbers were pretty fantastic. We have a little less than 500 lodges in Illinois, and within that, that would be requiring 3 primary officers or 1 guy to vote for all the lodges present. Well, usually, all 3 premier officers show up to Grand Lodge. So that's 1,500 Masons. Plus, there are other Masons who just decide to go, which is a fantastic idea. This year, of course, we didn't have 1,500 Masons attend. We had about 1,200 of the officers show up. And I imagine there were several proxies. And there were also a ton of just sitting members that came to the lodge, whether they were other officers in the lodge or not. But it was fantastic. It was a great event. Many huge congrats to Tony Krakow, our new Grand Master, for the next 2 years, and I really hope all of the Illinois brothers who attended Grand Lodge had a phenomenal time. And with that, I would also just like to take a moment to make sure all of the Illinois brothers listening know that Tony's our new Grand Master, his lodge, Landmark Lodge number 422 AFNAM, which was chartered on October 5th, 1864, is celebrating its 150th year. So it's celebrating 150 years of brotherhood with a lodge rededication by the Grand Master himself, right? So the Grand Lodge of Ancient Free and Accepted Masons will be there. It's going to be on Saturday, November 7th, 2015. They're going to have a luncheon at 12:30. The program starts at 1:30. All are welcome to attend. It's going to be at the Joliet Masonic Hall at 350 North Midland Avenue, Joliet, Illinois. The zip there is 60435, and you guys will need to RSVP by October 31st, otherwise you might not be able to get in. So if we can do that, that'd be awesome. I will post the flyer on our Facebook page, and I'll also try to put a link to the flyer in the show notes. You can contact their senior warden, Scott, or their junior warden, Robert Derby, and their numbers and email addresses will be in the flyer. So please check that out if you have a chance. I'm going to try to be there because you don't get to see lodge rededications that often, let alone one for the Grand Master's Lodge. So very cool. I do apologize. I just want to say sorry to everybody for slacking on the Midnight Freemasons. I know Wednesday the post didn't go up until late, and I know Fridays didn't go up until late Saturday night. We just got so inundated with the Grand Lodge sessions. I will have everything up and ready to go once more Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays on the MidnightFreemasons.org. Please check that out 3 times a week. And of course, the Masonic Roundtable will be every Tuesday at 10:09 Central, goes live on Google Hangouts It's on YouTube in perpetuity. Please check that out. We have a fantastic program, and it's really gaining foothold, guys. We are going to be speaking together sometime later this year, and I will put up the links and locations for that very soon. It's going to be a symposium of sorts, but it will be the first time that all five of us have been in the same place at the same time, coming together to do some work for this craft that we love. So again, thanks everybody. Big congratulations to all the Grand Lodge officers for the Grand Lodge of the State of Illinois. And with that, until next week, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.